Hello, friends. Alan Kirshner here from Eschatos Ministries. Since we went live with Bible Prophecy Daily, we have delivered a program every weekday to listeners. With a premillennial, pre-wrath, rapture focus, our Bible teachers are the best at helping Christians understand and prepare for Christ's return. Would you prayerfully consider your regular support of this ministry? You can easily do so by clicking the support button in the corner of the podcast website at BibleProphecyDaily.com. Thank you.
You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Hello, I'm Charles Cooper. Most of us, if we are familiar with Scripture enough, will readily recognize that it is the day of the Lord that marks the most significant turn in human history since the birth of our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. The day of the Lord is that time in the future when Jesus Christ will present himself alive on this earth, having come in the clouds, in order to set right and assume his rightful place as God's appointed ruler of this world. Our good friend, Dr. Alan Kirshner, excellent book on the Day of the Lord, presents a compelling case for why the sign of the Day of the Lord signals the most important turn in all of human history. Jesus Christ will put down the rebellion of Satan and his minion, the Antichrist. He will judge the wicked who remain, and then will initiate his thousand-year rule upon this earth with those who have earned the right to reign with him, and then with the sheep who were alive at his return, the first human citizens of his kingdom. Of course, those who have been saved through the ages will have been resurrected and will accompany him and will finally experience what God intended for his creation, all the way back, of course, with Adam. As we think about the day of the Lord, we, of course, are cognizant of the reality that God is going to break forth into human history as we know it and change everything. I find it fascinating that the Bible does, in fact, focus quite a bit on the day, or the significance of the day. The Hebrew term, as well as the Greek term, has a rather wide set of nuances, which of course have sparked great debate among scholars who don't know how to take what the Bible has to say about the different days. Now, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors, our fathers, by the prophets, at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. This is a important passage in terms of establishing that we are in fact living in the last days. Now, in popular culture, last days has come to mean that time that will make the return of Christ, quote unquote, imminent. The last days are usually, when spoken by most from the culture, is a reference to the events that will give way to the return of Jesus Christ. There does tend to be some sense of imminency to it, that the seeming expectation is that Jesus is going to return very, very soon, in light of the fact that we are in the last days. But if you'll notice in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, the writer says that in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. This would lend credence to the notion that the last days is in fact a period of time that now encompasses almost 2,000 years. The phrase "the last days" is not speaking of the months or even the final few years before Christ's return, but is in fact referring to the age inaugurated by the birth of Jesus Christ. Our Lord set forth or put in motion the time that we can now call the last days. How long the time will be between the birth of our Lord and his return as king to rule on this earth, no one knows. But scripture is clear that the time should be labeled the last days. In Acts chapter 2, verses 15, 16 through 21, we are told by Peter, he says, on the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. It will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in heaven above, signs on earth below, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Holy Spirit's ministry evidently runs the course of the last days. His ministry, his anointing, his revealing, his empowering are evidence of the last days. Interestingly, if you read Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and following, the time referent is not as detailed as it is in Acts chapter 2. Peter specifically applies this passage to the ministry of the Holy Spirit 50 days after our Lord died on a cross. Here we see that the last days will be, on one hand, manifest evidence of the supernatural presence of God among his people. Now, it would seem here that Peter is indicating that the last days will be marked by these particular manifestations of God and his Spirit. Sons and daughters prophesy. Young men see visions. Old men dream dreams. No one can debate that aspects of Joel's prophecy were not evidenced on the day of Pentecost and thereafter. The fact that not every particular was seen does not interfere with the idea that some of them did. We can see a partial fulfillment, or a pattern fulfillment better, that will ultimately see every aspect of this prophecy fulfilled as the Lord draws near. Jesus and his ministry marked the beginning of the last days. The ministry of the Holy Spirit runs the course of the last days. And Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and following, "But know this, hard times will come in the last days, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Avoid these people." So Paul here says that evil progressively worsens until the end of the last days. So on the one hand, you'll have the manifest evidence of the supernatural work of God's Spirit in his people, while on the other hand, you have the evil progressing on by the wicked, who I assume is at the direct result of their father, the evil one, who lies, steals, and kills. The progressive worsening of sin, as evidenced by sinners, marks the fact that we are in the last days. So I find it fascinating that the last days is not a specific term limited to a few weeks or months or years in relation to our Lord's return, but are in fact the descriptor for the whole period between our Lord's first coming to this earth and his return. It's interesting that these are spoken of as the last days. In fact, Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 6, verse 39 through 40, that the resurrection occurs on the last day. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, I find this rather fascinating that the last days culminate on the last day, singular, in which Jesus promises resurrection. Now, of course, if you've been a student of mine or Dr. Kirshner or other who teach that the resurrection is a multi-phase event, Jesus speaks of several different groups at different times who are all a part of the resurrection. And the Apostle Paul goes to great length to detail the fact in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. My point here, however, is to emphasize the importance of the day, the last days, the last day, and the day of the Lord. Very significant, very important events are signaled by the word day. Yet, I think that we perhaps forget that every day is preceded by the night. In the Jewish economy, of course, night comes before day. The night that will give way to the day of the Lord, and in fact, the last day upon which the resurrection will occur, it is my conclusion that it is just as important as the day. In fact, the night is absolutely necessary to bring about the day. All of us are, of course, concerned that we get it right in emphasizing the return of our Lord and the fact that he will return during the day of the Lord. But it is the fact that life comes out of the night, that it is the night that gives way to the life of day, that I believe is as equally important for us to understand. In this series, I've entitled "Twas the Night," that night that God will use as the greatest signal of his inbreaking into human history, is perhaps in some ways more pivotal and significant, because without the night, there can be no day. And God is going to wrap his creation in the darkness of night before the revelation of his Son in the day. And the awesomeness, the spectacular nature of the night will be highly, highly appreciative by those who will recognize it for what it is. The opening of the womb of creation to give birth to the new age, the age of fulfillment as God promised. In our next session together, we're going to look at the powerful image of the night and its contribution to the great day of God.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.